Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be talking Donegal 555 and 333 with race organiser Sean McFadden. We'll hear from Kieran Tobin, captain of the Donegal under 20 footballers, as they start their Ulster Championship campaign tomorrow evening, Friday, against Armagh. And Paul Burns joins us as well to look ahead to the All-Ireland quarter-final for the Donegal under 20 hurlers. Bunnygee United playing the quarter-finals of the FAI Intermediate Cup for the very first time this weekend. We'll be speaking with manager Jason Gibson. But first on the programme, it's time to look at League of Ireland Premier Division Soccer after the international break. Van Harps and Derry City return, of course, to action with a full programme of games right across the Premier Division, four on Friday and one on Saturday. Harps are back in action tomorrow against the champion Shamrock Rovers at Finn Park. It kicks off a busy period for Harps, who play three home games in 8 days, with Drogheda to follow on Monday the 4th of April and then the derby with Derry City on Saturday the 9th of April. Harps head into the next run of games after their first one of the year at Shelburne, but the momentum out of that victory may have been slowed with the break. Harps boss Ollie Horgan has been telling Jeremy Doherty how his side have been dealing with the break ahead of the next run of matches.
We've trained, Jeremy. We didn't go looking for a friendly game on the risk of picking up more injuries. We already had a few. We try to get people maybe back, you know, available and put their hand up for selection. I'm not sure is this weekend too soon for it, but with three games in the 8 days starting on Friday, so hopefully that we'll have one or two bodies back for the latter part of those three games.
Yeah, and you did say after the Shelburne game where Harps got that welcome victory, Ollie, that, you know, perhaps having a break the following weekend might not be good timing.
Well, we had no choice in it. We tried to look for a rearranged game on the Friday, where you'd have a crowd and you'd have, you know, the game spread out week by week. It wasn't to be with the international window, and I think the Premier Division sides voted to not to play and to keep that vacant, which probably doesn't suit us. It suits maybe the bigger sides with players on the under 21 squads in particular. But so be it. We've three home games starting on Friday night, Friday, Monday and Saturday that we need to try and get something out of that. You're playing the top two in the table, in that, starting with Shamrock Rovers. And in fairness, we probably haven't looked any further than Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, a manager will always say one game at a time, but surely in the back of your head, Ollie, you're thinking the Drogheda game is going to be important, and then of course the Derry City match is going to be huge as well.
Yeah, although Drogheda were hugely impressive against Dundalk and bet them comfortably and bet them deservedly last Friday week, Jeremy. I think the problem with Shamrock Rovers is if you don't prepare fully for it, you could take a heavy defeat. So we've gone and probably put a lot of our eggs into that basket to try and get a performance, to see could you get a result, although it'll take a hell of a lot going for us. But if you don't, you could end up on the heavy side of the defeat, and whatever bit of confidence you've gained from Shelburne could go out the window if you take your eye off the ball against them.
Yeah, and what's your thoughts on Shamrock Rovers then, Ollie? I mean, they've had a bit of a strange start to their season. They haven't really got up and running just yet, but I mean, they still carry such a threat and so much experience and quality.
Yeah, I mean, it's the panel they have in itself is savage. You know, they could be down a number of bodies. Even in the international window, they could play and field a side that is equally as good as what they'll probably field on Friday. They have, without doubt, the biggest panel of high ability players available in the whole league. Derry might argue that they have something similar, but they have, you know, players in abundance in every position. They have two players, probably three players for a number of their attacking positions that they can choose from, each of serious ability. And, you know, we went up there back when they won the league the night back in October or November, and I don't think we'd have shot in target, Dermot, then this will be hugely difficult. We need to try and make it competitive and try and gain a little bit of confidence out of it to kick on into Drogheda on the Monday night.
Okay. Your own situation then with your own squad, Ollie, and so many new faces, you did say that it would take you a wee bit of time to find out, you know, how those new signings will settle. I mean, we're, what, 5 or 6 weeks into the new campaign now. I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Ollie? Happy with things at this stage?
Look, you're always happy with some areas. You're always hoping to improve in others, and I think that's the case in this. They're good lads that we've taken in. There's no question about, you know, personality-wise and as regards good people. It's a question of, you know, how quickly they can adjust to the league, adjust to the style of play, and we're getting there, but it'll still take a while. You know, it's a work in progress. I don't know where this is going to end up. I don't think anyone knows where it's going to end up, but I think it's going to take a while, Dermot, and I don't think, you know, just one victory is all we've had. I don't think that's camouflaging the fact that, you know, it's a new team and a new, you know, I don't think anyone knows where this is going to go. I think everyone expects us to be fighting at the bottom, and please God, we will be fighting, to put it that way to you, and not drift away. But it's, you know, it's difficult to call at this stage, 5 or 6 games in. You know, ask me that question maybe 18, 19 games in, and you'll have a fair notion of what capability we have.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the Harps supporters will have their own thoughts on what those players are like, Ollie, and those Harps supporters hopefully will come out in big numbers again on Friday night.
Yeah, and Monday and Saturday, but we need them to be very patient. We're playing the top two teams in the country. We're playing Drogheda on the Monday that we haven't turned over in years, to put it that way to you, and they have a lot of experience as well, but that's for another day. As I said earlier on, like, we have to concentrate on Shamrock Rovers, or else we'll suffer a heavy defeat against their quality. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, we need to take a cut off it. If it's not good enough, it's not good enough, we move on to Monday. But we need to prepare fully, and we've probably spent the last 7 or 8 days, we haven't even mentioned Drogheda, let alone Derry, and otherwise you'll come out of it with nothing, and maybe a kick into your confidence added to it. So we're looking to see what we can do to make it difficult for Shamrock Rovers on Friday night, Dermot.
Fine Harps manager Ollie Horgan speaking to Dermot Doherty, and we will have updates from that game tomorrow night with Dermot here on Highland Radio. And there is, of course, a big number of weeks ahead for the league leaders, Derry City as well. Derry are just one of two teams who are unbeaten after the opening series of matches. Derry, top of the pile on 14 points from played 6. Sligo Rovers sit on 12 points, also unbeaten in the league. They've yet to lose a match in the share second spot there with St. Patrick's Athletic. So there's a big number of games ahead for Derry City, as we said. 3 matches in 8 days, just like Harps, culminating in that derby on a Saturday week. But the bulk of the games in the next run of fixtures are away for Derry. Rory Higgins has been speaking to Kevin McLaughlin, and the Derry boss has just taken it one game at a time.
Rory, a big week, 3 games in a week too, and I know you'll be just focusing on Bohemians, but because it's 3 games in a week, does it sort of play in your mind of like, have to look at the squad and things like that?
No, well, I suppose after Friday night it might, but it's very dangerous to look too far ahead, so no, we're just fully focused on Bohemians, extremely difficult game, and so we're well prepared to go down there and try and get a good result.
What do you sort of like, what fans, I know obviously the two boys are long term, Mickey Duffy and Kieran Hargan, what's their rest like?
Danny Lafferty's a wee niggle, very minor. We don't think there's much point in putting him at risk at this stage, so he'll probably miss out tomorrow night, but after that, Patrick's back, Matty Smith's back, so we're in a good position, and we want to go and try and attack and try and win the game ultimately.
Did the international break come at the wrong time because he had such a great result late on, carried momentum on, or did it come okay because he had a few injuries?
There's positives and negatives there, but it allows the likes of Matty Smith and Patrick and Evan, who's been out for a while, and certain players, they really get a good week or 10 days under their belt so that they get up to speed quicker, so it's been beneficial from that point of view. It's also been beneficial for the lads who have probably played every minute of every game. The likes of Dunmigan and Patching and Toll, McJanet, Jamie McGonigal, these sorts of players have played every single minute of every game, so it's given them a wee break to recharge the batteries. But on the flip side, we had good momentum, we want to keep that going. But listen, it's only one weekend without a game, so we'll not get too carried away.
And obviously, things are going so well, you're sitting up there top of the table, and it's a great place to be.
Aye, but you start looking at league tables around the summer, and take it from, we just want to make sure our performances are right and our performances are good. And what was pleasing in the last game against St Pat's is the amount of chances that we actually created. When I watched the game back, Pat's had one or two good chances. We probably had 6-7 good chances on the night and probably should have won by more. Although they did have a period after half time where they were good, but we've definitely deserved to win the game. So, no, we want to just keep our form going and keep building on it and see where it takes us.
So you say the form is a big thing, you know, there are only two teams still unbeaten in the league. It's trying to maintain that. As long as you can, the link for run of keeping that maintained, it's good.
Aye, no, it's good, and it shows that there's a togetherness in the group. Maybe there might have been one or two games where the Shamrock Rovers one springs to mind, and the St Pat's game where we've gone in front, they've came back, and maybe last season we might have, maybe experience might have done us and the opposition might have done and won the game, but we've come back and got ourselves back in front again in the dying moment, so it shows a real togetherness and belief in the players, and we're delighted with that.
Derry City manager Rory Higgins there speaking to Kevin McLaughlin. Elsewhere on Friday night, St Pat's against Drogheda United and Dundalk are playing UCD, and then Sligo Rovers are welcoming Shelburne to the showgrounds on Saturday as League of Ireland Premier Division gets back in action. And of course there is matches to come as well. On Monday night, the 4th, North West side's playing Derry at UCD, Finn Harps against Drogheda, and Sligo Rovers are in action on Tuesday. They're at home to Bohemians at the showgrounds in another of those games that was called off, and the backlog games that are being played early next week. The biggest game in history off Bunnygee United will see the Ulster Senior League side head for Cork this Sunday to face Rockmount in the quarter-final of the FAI Intermediate Cup. En route to the last eight, Bunnygee disposed of another Cork outfit in Everton in the previous round, winning through on penalties. Bunnygee manager is Jason Gibson, and he feels he has a good enough side to win the competition outright, but knows that going up against one of the favourites will be a big challenge. Jason has been telling me this week that preparations have been going well.
Yeah, it's been good. Training's been good, and say we had a good run out last Saturday against Cork Hill as well, which is probably something along the lines of the level opposition that we're going to be coming up at against this Sunday as well. So no, it's been good now to say it's probably the biggest game in the club's history. So now we're all looking forward to it.
And I suppose just going back to that game last week, victory over Cork Hill, a rare victory over Cork Hill, and I suppose they're the standard bearers in the Ulster Senior League, and they have been for such a long time, but they haven't found that magic in the FAI Intermediate Cup in recent seasons, and you guys are looking to make it as far as the semi-final. So I suppose what was the game at a level that you wanted it to be as you prepare for this?
Yeah, that's exactly, and that would give you an idea of the level of this competition. Whenever you have a dominant cartel who have, you know, they'll admit themselves that they've probably struggled and would want to have done better in this competition. So gives you an idea of the level of opposition you're coming up against. So, as I say, last week's game was similar in the way that, you know, it's fine margins, it's real battle, and if they won them battles, and you know, to come out on top, and I don't expect Sunday to be any different. Like, it's there's going to be no poor sides left at this stage of the competition, so I expect it to be difficult.
Yeah, you have a bit of homework, I'm sure, done in Rockmount at this stage, just about a couple of days out before you head to Cork, and they're a side that they have a history in this competition. They know how to win it, and they're one of the standard bearers in the competition. So what are Rockmount? Who are Rockmount?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, if you look at it, they're probably favourites to win the competition, and they've had a cracking season so far to date. They haven't lost any league games, and So look, we're under no illusions as to the task in front of us, like, but you know, football being football, and we go and prepare right, and we've got a last day off ourselves. So as I say, we'll just go there and with good belief and try and do our best.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, there's no pressure going into the game for you, boys.
Well, I wouldn't just, you know, as I say, we want to go and do well, and we want to get to the semi-final. So I mean, that brings its own pressures. You know, we'll do wee bits on them. We get bits of information on them, like I'm sure they'll get on us from, you know, we have, I suppose, friends of friends living down there and stuff like that, and you know, a few lads that have played senior football who would have mates down in that area and stuff like that. So we'll get wee bits of information on them, all right. But us find these games, you know, the first 20-25 minutes, you know, you kind of sizing one another up and we'll have a better idea, and it's important to kind of play the match in wee phases like that and take it like that, not to concede early and try and get a foothold in the game, so that'll be the plan.
Yeah, you played a Cork side in the previous round and you won on penalties against Everton. Did that maybe be an idea of Cork football?
Yeah, like they're at the higher end of the division below Rockmount, and as I say, they were a good side. I felt we should have won the game, you know, earlier and more comfortably, but look, it's probably a more established league than our own. They've more the more teams down there, and say they're used to playing at this stage of the competition probably year in, year out, so it's going to be a big challenge. But as I say, look, we've put everything in place to do the thing right. We're going down early on Saturday, prepare right, and to give the lads the best opportunity of doing well.
Listen, you can't bring them back to Donegal because there's no replays in the competition anymore. Would you take penalties again, would you?
Look, it's probably, yeah, I mean, let's be realistic. If somebody offered you that now, you would probably... you'd probably be happy to go to take that. You know, previous years, I suppose, pre-COVID, like, there was replays in the competition. You've been down to set up your stall to try and get 90 minutes and you know, get them up the road again. But look, by the same token, we would have been down the road in the last round because Everton had got their draw. So, you know, you can't have it every way. So, as I say, you just take it in wee phases and we'll size them up probably, you know, early doors and take it from there.
Yeah. And when you get to this stage of the competition, under the last eight, one game away, 90 minutes, possibly it could be 120 away from making a semi-final, do you feel you can win the competition? Do you think you have a group there, Jason, because you've built a very, very strong team, particularly over the last 12 to 18 months. Do you have a strong enough group that can go all the way in it?
Yeah, I feel we do. Like I say, the one thing that we do have is loads of experience. And not just obviously the League of Ireland experience that we all refer to, but like our lads, the bulk of them there now have been also senior league players for maybe, you know, a decade. And in the last few years, they've gotten used to playing in senior cups and intermediate cups, cup finals and big games against Cork Hull like last week. So now I have confidence in the lads that they'll manage. And if it is about game management, they'll manage any situation that arises in the match now. And you know, it's kind of a case of, oh, look, just, we've been here before, we've seen this, that happened, that game. So, from that point of view, like, I mean, you have the reward of a home semi-final as well against an opposition that we played last summer down in Dublin and Meath. So, there's a good reward there if we can negotiate someday.
Yeah, there's a big card at the end of it for you. So there is. Just on the team front, how big a blow is Paddy Mealy to you? You can't have him through suspension.
Yeah, Paddy's a big loss. Just, you know, he's commanding centre-back physically, you know, and his organisation has been a big help to us. He's a loss from that point of view, and that's the worry when you go into these competitions against, especially against the Munster sides, that, you know, they are physically commanding sides, so we'll have to adjust to that and stand up to that. Like, and set pieces is always a big bearing in these games. So look, we're just going to have to adapt. It's not any excuse that we must pack it. No, that's, well, the next man has to step up, and as I say, that's the way it's been over recent weeks, and it's the way it's going to be between now and the end of the season. The competitions are going to come thick and fast, and that's, you know, but that's where we want to be.
Yeah, and do you have to adapt in any other positions in the game, any other injury worries or doubts for you?
There's doubts over the two Harkins, unfortunately, but hopefully they can make it. We'll know that probably over the next day or two. And but look, as I said, you know, Jamie Lynam missed last weekend. Funstey's only played, you know, a small part. He just recovered from illness. So, you know, there's loads of experienced lads on, you know, on the fringes there as well to come in. So I'm not really concerned about that.
Okay. Listen, Jason, the best of luck in Cork on Sunday.
All right. Thank you.
That's Jason Gibson ahead of Bunnygee against Rockmount in the FAI Intermediate Cup. That one on Sunday kicks off at 1 o'clock. Just some of the fixtures locally at junior level. The action actually starts tomorrow night, Friday. Saturday, Division 1. Kilmacrenan Celtic Reserves up against Fintown Harps. On Saturday, there's a full programme in both Division 1 and Division 2. The top two are away in Division 1. Glencairgo to Kildrum and Old Town go to Donegal Town. Glencairn have a 2-point advantage at the head of the field. Dunluce Celtic and Remelton Mariners are tied on 31 points and have played the same amount of games. Dunluce in Division 2 will host Balbuffet United, and Remelton Mariners are going to Gador Celtic Reserves on Saturday as well. There is matches, full programmes to be played in the Premier Division and Division 1 in the Donegal League on a Sunday. Kilmacrenan can close the gap to Bunnygee United to 2 points if they won at Cager Rovers in the top flight. Bunnygee don't have a game on Sunday. When in Division 1, the leaders Fannage United, who are chasing the title of another derby match, they go to Swally Rovers in one of five ties. And Division 2, well, the title's all been sorted out, but there is one game with Gador United off to Laggan Harps. In the Ulster Senior Cup semi-finals this weekend, Buncrana Hearts and Glengad United are meeting in an all-any-shown affair. That one kicks off at 2 on Sunday. One Premier Division game down for decision. Alia looking to close the gap on Greencastle to 3 points. They host Ellis Celtic. And the remaining quarter-final in the any-shown Father O'Gara Cup is on as well. Kildaff, who are newly promoted to the Premier Division for next season, are ticking on Rishini. In Gaelic games, the Donegal and Armagh County boards had until this evening to appeal their bans handed down after the end-of-game Malian Letterkenny last Sunday. Five players have been hit with proposed one-game suspensions for their involvement. They are Donegal duo Orm McFadden Ferry and Neil McGee, along with Armagh trio Stephen Campbell, Aidan Nugent and Kieran Mackin. The five will have to sit out the championship encounter between the two sides at the end of next month after being named in Paddy Nealon's referee's report. We'll wait to see now if there is any confirmation as to whether any of the counties decided to appeal those sanctions which haven't been handed down. And we wait to see as well if there is going to be any further investigation to come from the CCC. On the pitch, the action starts on Friday evening with the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship. Three quarter-finals on Friday. Donegal involved in one of those as they welcome Oisín McConville and Armagh to McCool Park in Ballybuffet. In the build-up to the championship, Donegal won four games on the bounce to take their Development League section and left the Leo Murphy Cup. Ahead of the game, Donegal captain Kieran Tobin has been speaking with Highlands' Tom Comack.
The captaincy, how are you enjoying it?
Oh yeah, look, captaincy's great. It's a great honour, you know, to get it. But I think the main thing for ourselves is, like, you know, there's a lot of leaders there. There's a good crop of last year's backbone of players that are still about. And you know, ultimately for myself, it's a captain, but I think there's a good spread of leaders and there's a good lot of boys who can stand up, and that's probably a big help to us this year, and it's massive driving forward.
Yeah, and tell me, what type of captain are you? Are you a quiet captain in the dressing room, or are you vocal, or do you do your talking on the pitch?
Well, I would say, I don't know what the boys to say, but maybe quiet enough, I'll say at times. But look, like, the important thing is we just, when we go out to the pitch, and everybody does their talking, and, you know, we're well focused on that. There's, you know, there's enough men there that are well able to talk in the background team and that do all that kind of stuff for us. So it's the job for us as players just to perform on the big days, and yeah, that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah. Well, do you have extra work in terms of maybe liaising with the players and with the management and
Bits and bobs, just different things, you know, housekeeping and whatnot. But I think everybody's nearly at the age now where they're all able to handle themselves. If there's anything, you know, everybody's able to bounce them off different members of the management, different members of the team. Like, so I think there's a really good mix going this year, and things are probably very easy for myself and for the management to keep in place.
Yeah, and I suppose with so many leaders as well, you know, it takes the pressure off as well, you know, and the fact that, you know, there's other people leading other parts of the field. You were at the back, so sometimes maybe too far back to maybe have an influence.
Oh, 100%. But, you know, there's boys playing county football the last God knows how long, and there's boys at top clubs and different things. So there's a good spread of leaders, and there's good boys who are well able to stand up on the big days and deliver.
And tell me, is this the first time you've been captain of a team?
No, I was at minors as well. I was lucky enough to captain then too. So as I see him kind of crop of boys, there's a good, you know, leftover bunch, which is helpful, you know. But
it just shows
that this team's been together for a long time. You know, we were unlucky before, so hopefully now this year maybe we can pull things together again.
Going in on the back of very good form in the Leo Murphy Cup, big wins over, was the Derry, Roscommon, Mayo, and then Tyrone in the final.
Yeah, obviously the league was a massive help to us this year, and to get 4 wins out of 4 was huge again. So look, to get the silver at any time of year is wild important, but you know, it's definitely a boost for a lot of boys to get game time, a lot of players, and it's more than likely it is going to be a massive help to us going forward.
And as you say, quite a lot of guys got game time. Though there seemed to be a hardcore of 10 or 12 players that were starting every week.
Yeah, I think, you know, every team probably has that core group of players, and we're trying to probably figure that out. But I think this year, more so than any team that I've been involved in, you know, down through the years before, there's a serious 20, 25 boys, you know, up to 30 that are really pushing hard. And look, competition for places is massive in the team, and it's great. It's a good headache for Gary, and look, it's very promising for us going forward.
Tell me, obviously a couple of weeks now since the league final win, Leo Murphy final win over St Junan's, how has preparations gone in the last couple of weeks? Because I know guys are in college still in Dublin and things like that.
Preparations, it's hard, you know, with boys away and different things, you know. I suppose boys have work and other commitments, but we're just really zoning in the last while. I suppose when you come into the running, you hope that you can get every man onto the field and get the training sessions in. I think preparation overall has been good, and you know, probably worked well with most people, and everybody's kind of in the same boat, which is helpful.
Yeah, we read and hear of numbers of COVID rising. Is that a concern?
I suppose it's just something we're learning to deal with. You know, last year was really tough. For the time we came back in, the window was short, and you know, we kind of got used to how to work around it with training and, you know, outside life. And I think boys have just really, you know, focused in on what's the priorities, and I think if we got them things right, the other things are starting to take care of themselves, really.
Yeah. So, Armagh, your opponents again for, what, the second, third year, is it?
This is the second year running, Armagh in the first round. So, you know, we had them last year. They're you know, there's no easy games in Ulster for sure, but Armagh are definitely up there. They're top side, and, you know, they're very physical. We know what they're going to bring to the table, so that's going to be a good contest, but hopefully one we can pull through.
Yeah, and obviously a team that loses like that the year before have short memories, if you know.
Well, that's it. Look, it's not that long ago we did play them last year, and, you know, I'm sure they're looking to try and get one up on us again, but I think hopefully with the experience and the different things we have in the squad, we can make a good run at this.
Yeah, and of course that's the thing about it. What, there's 12 or 13 of last year's squad, and maybe 8 or 9 maybe starters.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a good crop. Not sure of what the number is, but there's a good crop of players, and these boys are playing at a top level.
That's the Donegal under 20 captain, Kieran Tobin, ahead of that game tomorrow night against Armagh. Starts in Balbofe at 8 o'clock. At the same time, Derry are playing Antrim, and Monaghan are taking on Cavan. Well, the other quarter final involves Tyrone on Saturday afternoon in Lochmacrory. They play Down. The three North West counties are also in action in the under 17 minor league for the Jim McGuigan Cup. Donegal play host to Sligo. Derry are off to Fermanagh, and Tyrone are taking on Down. And there's Liddy's minor action this weekend again as well in round 5 of the competition. Donegal are playing Antrim at Sean McCool Park in Ballybofey on Saturday, and there's a 2 p.m. throw-in to that. There's also inter-county hurling action for a number of North West sides this weekend. The National Hurling League Division 3A final is at Owen Beg. Tyrone are playing Armagh, starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And then that's followed at 4 o'clock in Edenderry by Derry against Sligo. They are contesting the Division 2A final. Tyrone and Derry both chasing league titles this coming weekend. But the Donegal under 20 hurlers, they are chasing a place in the semi-final of the All-Ireland Series. They're heading to Ballina on Saturday. They are ticking on Mayo at the quarter-final stage in the competition. The match throws in at 2 o'clock. And ahead of that game, I've been speaking to the Donegal under 20 hurling manager. That is Paul Burns. Well, Paul, we're just days out now from the start of the championship, the start of the campaign that you've been targeting, of course, since you took over the reins as under 20 manager. What's it been like in training this week now ahead of the big game against Mayo?
Yeah, there's been a good mood in training there now this week. In fairness, now there's been the buzz has been good about it, and the squad's been training hard this last couple of weeks there now, and hopefully now we get down the road and get a one at the weekend.
And just like the under-20s, their championship football-wise is starting this weekend, and they won their pre-season competition. What's pre-season been like for the Donegal hurlers at that age group?
To be fair, now our pre-season's been pretty short. We only had two games, and we had actually it was good competition to run because we played the likes of Derry and Down, who's in this competition, and to be fair, we took some good results against them. Now, we were beaten, but and saying that, we took a positive from it, that we took down to 6 points, which we probably should have won that day down in Cairndonagh, and we kind of threw it away ourselves in the last 15-10 minutes. Goals killed us at the end up. And against Derry and Wombeg that day too, we played against a very stiff breeze in the second half, and probably that got the better of us then. It's been pretty good now, to be fair. Results haven't went away, but we took a positive from it.
Yeah, and I suppose it gave you game time as well to get a good look at the majority of the panel. How many players did you sort of cycle through over those two games?
We used every player in the panel, to be fair, in them two games. So we have we kind of agreed with the Derry manager the day we played them. We just rolled on and off subs, and it worked out well for us because we've seen players who maybe might not have got a chance other games. Like, was good that day.
Yeah, and you do have a large number of senior players that was under Mickey McCann available to you.
Yeah, and we have 7 boys on the senior panel area, and every one of them has been given a go now. And Rory Campbell hasn't been playing with us yet. He's carrying a bit of an injury, and hopefully he's back with us this weekend. And as well, Dean Harvey as well. He's been carrying a knocker, so he hasn't got a chance to play with us just yet. But he played a few minutes for us there last weekend. We played a friendly and he came on, and he seems to be tearing away there, looking good.
Yeah, who would the rest of the senior players be available
to? You have Conor Gartland there, Liam McKinney, Kevin Kern, Oisin Marley, Conor Dover, Dean Harvey, Rory Campbell. Good strong contingent of players there.
Yeah, that's for sure. And would you involve any of the minors at minor age level and the under-20s? Would you be looking at that sort of side of things as well, would you?
No, they play at their under-17 age group, so we'd like to have a few. There's a couple of very good players there on that age group, but they play with their own age group now.
Looking ahead now to championship against Mayo, what's the opposition going to be like for you?
Well, Mayo is always a strong team to go down there and play against, especially down in Ballina. Anywhere down in Mayo at all, it's always been a tough game. Anytime we've ever went down, they always give you a good hard game down there, and it's on their home patch. And championship day, anything can happen.
You played before at underage at under 21 level. You reached the semi final this competition, Paul.
We got the semi final. We won the Ulster B. That took us to the semi final of it, and we got to play Westmeath, and we took Westmeath to 6 points that time. We were forced to 2-0 that day, but it wasn't for us, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you are to be at full strength or as near to full strength as possible and you can play to your potential, is winning the match very, very much achievable on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, there's a really strong team there, hurling and the counties on the way up, and there is a strong team there, and there is a possibility, there is a chance that I can see us getting the semi-final on Saturday, to be honest. Now, we're very strong at that age group.
And I suppose the fact that Donegal have done so well in their league campaign, it'll benefit them players that have been about that senior squad for you too.
Yeah, you can see in training there, they've just upped it, the fitness level and the physical side of things. You can see the difference in them. They've been up with the senior for the year or so, and in fairness to them, they've kind of pushed us on too.
Yeah. Just finally then, how are you enjoying this managerial role, Paul?
I'm actually enjoying it really well. It's been exciting, and something I've been looking forward to for a long time, and I'm looking to get a one at the weekend. So
yeah, it would be nice to put a bit of a championship run together, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah, especially for them young lads. Like, they deserve a good run. They had a hard training there, so this last couple of weeks, and we got a good few friendlies played there, so it'd be nice to get a wee one on the road.
That would surely. Listen, the best of luck with Paul the weekend in Mayo.
No bother, thanks, Oisin.
That's Paul Burns, the Donegal under 20 hurling manager, as they play the quarter final of the All Ireland series on Saturday. Now, there's a big weekend of club action ahead. The Donegal Senior Hurling League starts it all off tomorrow night with two games, Dunloe against Buncrana, and Éireux are up against Sean McCool's of Ballybofey. But then over Saturday and Sunday, there is full fixture list to the new All County Leagues. There was, of course, four divisions, but with no relegation due to COVID in 2021, the CCCC made the decision to increase the number of teams across three divisions for this year. And the action starts with fixtures being played across both days, Saturday and Sunday. So in Division 1 on Saturday, the three games at 5 are Glen Swilly against Killybegs, Gweedore play St Michael's, and Termon, the new boys into Division 1, are taking on Bundoran. The other three matches in Division 1 are Sunday afternoon, Kilcar against Éireux Ballyshannon, Clohanilly are up against Glenfinn, and Niamh Connell will play Ardra. Three matches on Saturday in Division 2, Fine Gaels play Mobile, Mallantyg on Downings, and Convoy are playing Buncrana. When on Sunday it's St Noel's against Dunloe, Letterkenny Gaels meet Niamh Columba, and Milford play Sean McCool's. There is four games in Division 3 on Saturday. Niamh Columkill will host Niamh Breed, Robert Emmett's go to Niamh Padraig Muff, St Union's on the road to Pettigo, and Niamh Warrilower Rosses are taking on Narossa. The two matches in Division 3 on Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me, are Bird against Niamh Padraig Lifford and Niamh Ulton against Urres. So there's an extra edge added to the All County Leagues this season with more teams involved across three divisions. We're down into the closing stages of the All-Ireland League in rugby, and in Division 2C, after their fantastic one last week against Sunday's Wales, Derry, City of Derry are out of the bottom two, but they've got a tough game on Saturday as they travel to the leaders, Enniscorthy, with two games to go. This is another massive game for Derry, who are fighting relegation. Sunday's Wales, who dropped below them, they are ticking on a mid-table Middleton on Saturday afternoon. And Omagh, who are safe, they're on the road as they go to County Offaly to play Tullamore. Letterkenny are heading back to Ulster Championship action in confident mood after securing their place in the Gordon West Cup last weekend. University of Ulster Coleraine will come to play in Letterkenny on Saturday in Ulster Championship 3. Strabane on the road in that section as they go to Monaghan. The hockey players from Raphoe are still fighting relegation from Ulster Premier League. In their final game of the season on Saturday, they play Mosley, and Raphoe know that they need to win. They have to, at the very least, win that game on Saturday and hope other results will go their way if they are to avoid relegation. And it's a similar situation for the Raphoe ladies on Saturday. They are also looking to avoid the drop out of the Ulster Premier League. They are in Armagh and they need points now in their final two games if they are to stay up. Finally, we go to cycling. This year's Donegal 555 is already sold out, and with the addition of the new 333 route, the event has reached its capacity in record time. The organising committee of the Cycling Ireland backed event have also changed the date to Friday the 7th of August. Race organiser is Sean McFadden. I've been speaking to him this week, and he says incorporating the shorter distance has once again increased interest in the event.
We sat down after the 555 last year, myself and Eugene and the team, and we said we'd just change the date and change the whole, the spice it up a bit, you know, and we changed the date, and it was actually, you know, we changed it for different reasons, and it's kind of worked out really, really well, you know, and we want to incorporate another discipline into the race, and we thought about it for years, you know, and we didn't do it, but then we thought we'd kind of have to do it with other races coming on board, and there's, like, you know, I mean, all the Joe Barr and the Mayo, and there's loads of races coming on, and they've got smaller events, so we thought we would try and come up with one. And believe it or not, I suppose I'm going to have to put it out there. A good friend of ours and a good competitor come up with the name of this. Colin Richardson come up with a 333, and actually when we talked about it and when we advertised it, it just went, it sold out like literally in nearly 3 or 4 days, you know, because we didn't want the 3-3-3 to swallow the 5-5-5, but it just nearly took over, you know. So, yeah, so we kind of capped it that we'd only maybe take 20 to 30 3-3-3 competitors for the first year to see how it went, because we really don't want it to swallow the 5-5-5. But it was a really, really, really successful idea.
Well, what is the 3-3-3? What's the, apart from 222 kilometres, if my maths is correct, what's the course for the 3-3-3 going to be, Sean?
Yeah, well, it's still part of the 5-5-5 course, but they're not doing the first section of Downrun and a show on, so they're doing the second half of the 5-5-5. But the 3-3-3 still is very, very challenging. People think it's a little bit like it's only 333 kilometres, but there's still nearly over 4,000 metres of climbing in it, you know. So the second half of this race, there's a lot of climbing in it. So it's still going to be very, very challenging for people, you know.
Yeah. And is there any difference to the 5-5-5 this year? Is it the same rugged, tough course that's always been there, Sean? Or because there's always a small sort of alteration whether the years go on. Is there going to be any this year?
No, we're not going to try and change this. And we've kept it as close as we can for people to set records and for people to target their time from the previous years. And I don't like changing stuff too much. You know, okay, if there's a roadworks on and we have to change maybe a kilometre or 2 kilometres, we try to stay as close as we can for it, you know, because, as I said, people setting targets and people setting times, and people want to beat their own time from last year, and they want to, you know, so we're going to try, we are keeping the 5-5-5. Exactly as it was as before, you know.
Well, Lorraine Mullarkey came and destroyed the solo women's record last year. She done it in 21 hours. And you were talking her up before her arrival last year, Sean. Is there anybody to talk up this year? Anybody to watch out for?
Well, Lorraine is sitting on the fence. She's actually thinking about coming to do the 3-3-3 and try and set a blistering time in the 3-3. She hasn't signed up yet because, you know, with the change of date and with Lorraine here in Dubai, it's like she has to get time off school and different things like that. But there is a few that are sitting on the fence that are still challenging themselves for other races. So a couple of competitors, like, you know, that have done the 3-3-3, women have done it before. So we've kept a couple of slots for them. But so it's kind of exciting times. And we're hoping that the racing that they're doing at the minute is going to go really, really well, and it's going to set them up then for the 5-5-5 or the 3-3-3, you know.
Yeah, okay, so we'll wait to see what happens then in the next couple of months to see if there is any big names on the way. So what happens between now and race day, Sean? Because we're here now coming, but we're about to start April, so we are, and there's still several months to go before we hit August time. So what's happening between now and then?
Well, from now and then, we're very lucky, Eugene or Russian, that we've sold out this year. Like, we've sold out. We've never sold out before. We've always had this number in our head that we wanted to get over 100 competitors on the road. And at the minute, we're well over 100. And even we do get a few dropouts, where I think, you know, really our goal at the start of the 5-5-5, when we started out, we'd only had maybe like 30 competitors. And it was always a magic number to get over the 100. And now we are. So we're hoping, like, with a few dropouts, we will still have over 100. So it just gives me and Eugene and Damien McGuhan this year that's come on board to give us a hand with the emails part of it and everything else. Damien's come on board. So it gives us more time now to get everything set up in place, where before we were holding on to maybe 3 weeks out and then trying to get everything in place. Well, now we've got a bigger window to go by. So it's going to give us more time to get things organized, you know, and just get the venue ready. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody in the ramp on the 5th of August, you know, and let's see if we can get some new records on the 5-5-5, or let's see what they can do with the 3-3-3. You know, the 3-3-3 is going to be fast, and it's going to be a very exciting race between, like, two-man teams and solo competitors, you know. So
do they start a wee bit later, Sean, than the five, because the 5-5-5 boys are way early on the Friday morning, so they are. Is the 3-3-3 goes a wee bit later in the day, or are they going off at the same time?
No, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get the 5-5-5 solo men out the road, and then we haven't actually decided what way we're going to do it yet, or rushing, so we're still working on that. But the 5-5-5 men will, solo people will go first, and then we will let the 3-3-3 men and women away then, you know.
Yep. And it's a Cycling Ireland backed event as well, Sean.
Cycling Ireland backed event this year, and as everybody knows, we couldn't go without Cycling Ireland, because just with the whole issue of insurance and stuff like that. So we're delighted that Cycling Ireland come on board. I think now this is their third year with us, so we couldn't do this event without them, you know. So it's incredible to have them on board. And all our sponsors have come on back on board this year to make this event possible again. So, you know, it's a packed field. Like, we've got, this year we've got 40 solo competitors in the 5-5-5. We've got 25 solos in the 3-3-3. And we've got 12 teams in the 3-3-3. And we've got 5 unsupported solos in the 5-5-5, including one woman this year that's going unsupported. So that's going to be a challenge for that young lady that's going to take it on unsupported, you know. So, and we bit down this year, Eugene, or us, and the four-man teams on the 5-5-5, because I think with including the 3-3-3, they've thought about, okay, if they've gone on a four-man team before, they're going to take on the 3-3-3. So we've only 10 four-man teams this year, but listen, we'll see how it goes. You know, it's a packed house, it's a packed field, and we're excited. You know, we can't wait again. You know, it's like every year when the last person crosses the ramp, you think, oh, that's it, we've got a year to get it ready again. But all of a sudden, it's around the corner, and like, you're only a couple of months out, you know, and the preparation has started, and we're looking forward.
There you go. That's Sean McFadden, who spoke to me earlier today from sunny Dubai. And that is it from another edition of The Score. Remember, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin here in Highland is tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore. So for me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of your Thursday, have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.